This morning we're going to continue in our values sermon series. We've made it through two of our values so far, and we're going to continue with the third this morning. And I have those up for you so we can kind of read them, digest them, remember them. And the point of values is that they're not just written down for us as a church, but that we live by them. Not as a church, not only as a church, but also in our personal lives, right? Let's read through them so we can remember them, right? All right. We are a people who value people and families from all cultures and ages. We are a people who value a gospel-centered life. We are a people who value love that is rooted in Jesus Christ. We are a people who value generosity in giving and volunteering. We are a people who value empowering and equipping to grow in knowledge and character. We are a people who value a flourishing community. Now, the point of these values was that they weren't all churchy language, so that if you sat down with a stranger over a cup of coffee, you could share these values and they could get something from them, right? Make sense? And today we're going to look at number three, love that is rooted in Jesus Christ. Love. Love. A wonderful thing, is it not? What's love like in your world? Think for a moment. What is love like in your world? What's love like in your life? What does it look like? What function does it perform in your daily life? How does it affect your life? Your actions, your words. When we look at love in this world, it's pretty broad. And it's also quite messed up. Love is broad in the sense that we use it so loosely in talking about things. Oh, I love this book or this movie. Or then we use it in a deep, meaningful way when we tell our loved ones that I love you. Our children, I love you. But how is love messed up in this world? How is it messed up? Well, love in this world is imperfect, misunderstood. In this world, love can bring more trouble than it's worth. Love in this world seems to ask a lot at times without giving much in return. Sometimes love in this world can feel like you're shooting yourself in the foot, causing pain to yourself. Make yourself vulnerable because of love and easy to hurt. Love in this world can often feel like it leaves at the first sign of trouble. Oftentimes it feels like love in this world doesn't say, I love you no matter what. So often love in this world leaves, and when it does leave it leaves disaster in its wake. Hurt, pain, confusion, turmoil, loneliness. We have either seen this or experienced this in our own lives. When parents get divorced, when a partner or spouse has an affair, when one person gives out of love only to have the other person take and take and take and give nothing in return. We open our hearts to another out of love and trust them And then we feel betrayed when that same person hurts us, leaves us. The examples go on and on. Love in this world can promise a lot, but then may not deliver on those promises. Love in this world breaks hearts, and we feel like we're always left picking up the pieces of our broken hearts. Love can feel flimsy, fake at times, unstable, volatile, like it's not worth the trouble or the risk. Not worth the tears, the pain, the loneliness. Feels like love in this world isn't worth the surrender, the effort. It can feel exhausting. It can feel like even we try to do and love the right way, it fails. Many people feel like they just make a mess out of love. And we begin to ask, what is it good for? Why bother? How can it help me? Why love at all? Why care? Why sacrifice yourself to carry the burden of loving another person if all you're going to get in return is hurt and pain and anguish? Why? Well, because there is a such thing as perfect love. There is such a thing as perfect love. A perfect love that can end disaster. A perfect love that can heal the brokenhearted. There is a perfect love that can save those who are dwelling in this messed up world. It's a love that God tells us about because we otherwise wouldn't recognize it. God's love takes its time because of our untrusting human nature. God's love is profound. God's love is a perfect love that guards us, one that we can trust and depend on. It gives security and hope when we're unsure. God's love is a perfect love that is never exhausted. Never exhausted. A love that never runs out. A love that never fails. God's love is a love that while we were still keeping records of wrong, being self-seeking, unkind, Jesus still died for us. Jesus, the Son of God, gave his life on the cross because of love. Perfect love. John 15:13, Jesus says, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." And that's what Jesus did. He laid down his life for his friends. 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 Think about that word. There were many people who were hostile toward Jesus, wanting to kill him, end his life. Yet he still laid down his life for them. No greater love than that. That passage that you read in Luke 19, if you read the next verse where we ended off, it says that Jesus talks about how Jesus wept over Jerusalem as he approached the city, because he understood that there were those who would reject him, would not understand what he is doing. And he wept for them because he cared for them. He loved them. and he knew the destruction that was coming upon them when they reject him. God sent his one and only Son because he loves his creation. God loves mankind, every person. Jesus tells the two greatest commandments are what? To love your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. The question is, how can I love like that? If love is so messed up in this world, how can I love others like that? How God loves, how Jesus loves. The answer is very simple. It's because you are loved like that by God. How can I love with perfect love? I can love like that not because of me, but because he first loved me. The love of Christ. When you understand just exactly what it is that Jesus did on your behalf on the cross, things change. You understand the extent of God's mercy, his grace, his love up towards you and upon you, upon every single person on this earth. That's what makes it possible to love with a greater supernatural love, because it comes from God. It's not that our love is made bigger or greater, but it's that our understanding, how we perceive love grows. And this happens when we draw near to God through Jesus Christ. And we spend more time with him. Our understanding of love deepens. It's like God keeps bringing you to a newer and greater understanding of his love, a revelation upon revelation of his love. And in those moments when we feel like we cannot love, he gives us a strength to love. I want to read to you guys perhaps the most well-known passage of scripture that talks about love. You guys, any guesses? 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to read 1 to 8. But 4 to 7 is in there, Zach. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast of it or about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Amen. Without love, I am nothing. Without love, I have gained nothing. Without love, I am just a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. Paul writes, I don't know about you, but those things are things I don't want to be or have or sound like. Paul's listing off some pretty impressive things here, right? In these first three verses, being able to speak not only all the languages on earth, but also the languages of angels, to be able to prophesy and understand all of God's secret plans, to possess all knowledge, know everything, to have faith that could move mountains, to be so loving and helpful as to give everything away that you have, even your own life, to sacrifice for another. Paul writes that even if we have done all of this, but if we had no love, we would be nothing or gain nothing. How is that possible? How does that work, you may ask? Man, if I had all those abilities and did all those things, I would have so much, be so much in other people's eyes. I could do so much, help so much. How is it possible that I'd be nothing or gain nothing if I had no love? Well, let's read Mark chapter 8, 36 to 37, the words of Jesus Christ. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? You may be asking, well, how does this relate to what we're talking about? Let me show you. If you can do all wonderful, amazing things, gain amazing things in this world, do good things, help people, help humanity, even spread the gospel message, but you lacked love, you didn't love, and we're talking about real love here, it means you don't have love for God. It means you don't know God. You don't gain anything because in the end you will lose everything. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 8 says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love." God is love. Think about that for a second. God is love. If we don't have love, real love, you don't have God. You don't know God. If you do all these amazing things, all these good things, but lack love, you're really lacking God. You're pushing God. We're pushing God out of our lives. God is no longer involved in our actions or deeds. We're no longer doing things to glorify God, but rather ourselves. We hear people say that they're good people, and because of that, their goodness, they will go to heaven. Well, the truth is, no matter how good you are, how good I am, we have all sinned at some point, and we will sin again at some point. And because of that, we're all guilty of breaking God's law. And the Bible tells us the consequences of sin is death. But the wonderful news is that God has provided us a way out through his Son, Jesus Christ, to salvation in him through the cross. God loves you. He loves me so much that he gives us grace that we receive through faith freely It's not something that we earn and say, look, God, look at all these wonderful, great things I've done. Surely I have earned salvation. No, it's not by what we do, how good we live, how good people we are that we're saved by. Think about if a murderer stands before a judge and says, well, judge, I know I killed this person and murdered this person, and it was wrong. I lost my temper in that moment, and I did something I shouldn't have. But look at all these things, good things I've done, things I've done right. Surely you can let me go. What's the judge going to say? No, of course he's not going to let the man go free. He will be sentenced for the wrong he did. God will not judge people according to what they have done right either. The only way we can receive salvation is by accepting the free gift of grace that he offers us through his Son, Jesus Christ. He's the atoning sacrifice for our sins. God provided it for us because he loves you. He loves us. If anyone does not love in return, after experiencing God's love in a profound way through his Son, Jesus Christ, they don't really know God. Because God is love. Therefore, anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. The true, perfect love I described earlier is God's love. A love that never fails. A love that never dries out. A love that conquers all. A love that without it, we're nothing, have nothing, and gain nothing. The next verses 47, like Zach was saying, is often used at wedding ceremonies. Here we have listed qualities and characteristics of what love is and what love is not. And how often does love, the love in this world, become like the list of things love isn't supposed to be? We often don't have to look any further than a broken relationship or a failed marriage to see what love has become in a person's life. You may be head over heels for someone, but jealousy quickly rears its ugly head. Or pride elevates yourself above your loved one, putting them below you. Or you boss your husband or wife around, demanding your way or the highway. You get irritated by something he or she does. Or like an elephant, you never forget what they have done wrong. Never truly forgiving them for something that happened. How often does love give up, fail, walk away, tire out, lose hope? All too often we see these things happen. We do these things. And it's because our love is not rooted in Jesus Christ. Perfect love. Build your marriages upon the rock of Christ. Upon the perfect love of Christ. There are so many things in this world that fight against love. The enemy, Satan, knows real love is powerful, magnificent, and he hates it. He wants to twist it and use it in its twisted form to destroy us. He wants to destroy anything beautiful that God has created and given to mankind in a pure and good way. Satan wants to twist our mind in the understanding of what true love is, what perfect love is. He wants to lie to us. He wants us to see love as something hopeless, meaningless, that only hurts and injures, causing pain, so that we would cease to love and walk away from love. And in so, we'd also be walking away from God. Friends, church, remember what true love is, what perfect love is. Experience what true love is. Taste what true love is by daily going to the source of love, God. Love endures through every circumstance. Every circumstance. Love endures. In verse 8, the Bible says that everything else will cease, but love will endure forever. And that is because God is love. It's vital that we walk in His love every day. That we don't allow bitterness, jealousy, anger to fill our hearts, but turn to God and ask Him to fill our hearts with love so that we can forgive others and understand others, to begin to put others before ourselves. We are only able to truly love when we encounter the One who is love. I'll say that again. We are only able to truly love when we encounter the One who is love. Jesus lived a life of love. Jesus is the embodiment of love. And when we believe in Him, make Him the King of our lives, make Him our Savior, Christ comes to dwell in our hearts. Ephesians chapter 3, 17 and 19 says, "Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand all, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God." When Christ comes into your life, you will be rooted, grounded into God's love. It will make you strong. Jesus Christ will give you power to understand the scope of just how great, how big, how deep God's love is. And even though it is too great for us to understand, to completely comprehend, and we can't even fully, truly experience it, but we'll begin to understand the fullness of life and the power that comes from God the more and more time we spend rooted in Him. And this will transform our lives. It will transform your hearts, and it will allow you to love like God loves. How awesome is that? I want to close off with 1 Corinthians 13:13. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Love is the greatest. Learn to love. Learn to understand love, to know love. Because God is love. Perhaps that is one of the purposes of life, to learn to love. It's not that love is God, but that God is love. Let's stand up and pray.